Our second scripture reading is in the book of Job, chapter 23. Please turn with me there. Job chapter 23, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I may come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is an interesting passage. What is so very interesting about it is that it answers exactly to what Eliphaz had counseled him to do in the previous chapter. Job is one of these books where the sweep of it is extremely important. As these men interact with one another, let's not oversimplify things to say that, you know, they have all gotten themselves out of sorts. And in a sense, they have. But here we have a strong accusation from Eliphaz in the prior chapter and then counsel to Job. First, he accuses Job, if you'll remember, of being a hypocrite. And then he counsels Job to repent and to go to God and to plead with him for mercy. And Job says in this chapter, as he answers that charge, "What do you think I've been doing? What have I been doing? I have searched for him. I have brought my case to him. I have asked for mercy. I have run in the ways of these advices that you have given to me. I have used these means. I look for him before me. I can't find him. And behind me, I don't see him there. To my left, to my right, he has hidden himself from me. Oh, that I could make my supplication before my judge. I would plead my cause before my judge." Some have taken Job's words here to be too bold, and while there is a hint of boldness there, I rather think that these are the words of a man who has indeed exhausted all means that he knows he can exhaust. And so we see perhaps a bit of frustration here, a bit of impatience, a bit of, "Well, I have done all those things, and note, I am still suffering, and I still continue to search and cannot find relief." So while Job's speech here does seem rather bold, it is perhaps excusable. As he has been accused of being a hypocrite when he says, "If he try me, he shall find me as gold, or I shall come out as gold," Well, we may, to our hearing, hear pride in that. I think what Job is doing is he is vindicating his cause, that he is truly no hypocrite, that he has indeed pressed upon heaven's gates. He has, in the words of the old Puritans, he has sued heaven with his cause and has found the heavens as brass. He's found them silent. And so we see in the latter part of the chapter, very, very interesting, Job says, "But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he does. For he hath performed the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Now that is faithful. I don't know if resignation is the right word, but it is indeed a faithful discharge of his duty, bowing to God's providence at this point. Oh, there is still complaint there. There is still some dissatisfaction, as we have heard from Job before, but perhaps Job is maturing some as this process goes on. "He has performed the thing that is appointed for me," Job says. "Many such things are with him. He does what he pleases. He is of one mind, and who can turn him?" Brothers and sisters, this is good counsel. This is good counsel from Job when we are in straits, when we are in difficulty, and the heavens seem to us as shut up as brass. When our prayers don't seem to reach past the ceiling, when we cry out to God for relief and none comes, what do we do at that time? Many have fallen off. They have shaken their fist at God. They've said, "If this is the Christian life, I don't want it. You can keep it." Not Job. The Lord sustains him. The Lord sustains him with the knowledge that the Lord does what he pleases in the affairs of men. The Lord does what he pleases in the heavens. He is of one mind, and who can turn him? And there is some resignation in that. Job is saying, "Who am I to turn him if he choose to shut up the heavens against me? Who am I that I should turn him from that?" Can we do that? That's the hard question, isn't it? I've had people come to me with difficulties, and they'll say, this trial or that thing is going on, and I just don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to endure. The question, and it's a hard question to ask, and it seems direct or harsh, but the question is, what if it never changes? Can you serve God then? Do you have a right to demand from the Almighty that you serve at your terms? It seems that Job is coming to grips with this in this chapter. Now we'll see a little bit later on, he may lose that grip. But it seems that here, there is a measure of Job's understanding that it is not in him. It is not his part. It is not his place. It is not within his authority to charge God with, "I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. He is of one mind. Who can change him? Many such things are with him. He has appointed. I am experiencing that which he has appointed for me." Brothers, sisters, this is good counsel. There are difficult times that come, and we look for relief. But if you look for relief, and relief does not come, will you lose your faith? Some have. Some have. But notice Job's procedure at the beginning of the book. "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Is there a trial that is too great for you to maintain your profession of Christ? Do you have a price? That's the question of Job chapter 23. Of course, we pray that no, we don't have a price. We pray that no matter what the trial we will endure, that no matter how difficult it gets, no matter what the deprivation and loss, no matter what the alienation and persecution, no matter what it is, that we will continue faithful. That is our prayer, and it is also God's promise to His people that He will sustain them. What is that passage? Is it? It's in Isaiah. It's in the 40s in Isaiah. When thou passest through the waters, I will sustain thee. When thou passest through the fire, it shall not touch thee. God has promised to His people that He will sustain them, even in great trial. Thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 23. Let's continue praising God in the singing of psalms.